Good morning. The time is 8 o'clock. You're listening to KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubenik. Across the state, more than 36 retail marijuana stores opened for business yesterday, marking a historic milestone for pot advocates. News reports showed lines outside of some Denver area stores, and people from around the country traveled to the state to purchase pot. Shops opened in Telluride and are expected to open later this year in the Roaring Fork Valley. The Denver Post has been anticipating this day. The newspaper hired two marijuana critics and launched a new website devoted to pot coverage and culture. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin spoke to Ricardo Baca. He's the Post's new marijuana editor.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, for sure.
So how did you become the marijuana editor for the Denver Post?
Sure. I was approached by my colleagues when I got back from a vacation about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they said that they wanted to focus on this, and it was clearly one of the biggest stories of the next year. They wanted to start a website dedicated to the culture of cannabis, and they wanted to appoint a marijuana editor of the Denver Post for the very first time.
So what does your job as marijuana editor entail?
So basically, they wanted me to start a website, and that website just launched, and it's called The Cannabist, and we're really proud of it, and it's basically our culture portal into cannabis, because of course we've been covering the news of marijuana in Colorado for more than a decade, especially for the last 5 years since the dispensary boom. But what they really wanted us to do was to really talk about the culture of marijuana, how we consume it, you know, so that involves reviews of different strains of pot and edibles and gear and even hemp products. It also involves profiles and conversations about entertainment and how pot changes our relationship with that entertainment, be it video games or film. You know, we also will have an advice column because people have many, many questions about, is this legal? Is that not legal? We're tackling some important questions, and we're also having fun with it.
Yeah, and I noticed some marijuana-enhanced recipes on the site, like sweet potato and bacon soup, and some reviews of the different strains of pot. What's the goal? There's sort of a mix of entertainment and news on the site.
The goal is absolutely just to cover the culture of cannabis. You know, and we believe that involves the entertainment. But without question, as you know, the legalization efforts continue, this drug's impact on our day-to-day lives increases. And so, you know, the food recipes are one of my favorite parts of The Cannabist. I'm really proud that we're teaming up with this wonderful chef out of Portland, Oregon. So if you go to The Cannabist and click on food, you'll see a number of her recipes. We have two of them up there right now, including just the very best canna butter recipe that she could find that she's made before.
I mean, this is a lot of new information for people to read reviews of different strains of pot and that sort of thing. Do you think that this website will be fully embraced right away, or do you think it's going to be sort of an evolution of acceptance from the public?
Judging from less than 24 hours of traffic, I'm expecting it to be embraced right away. I think people are hungry for information right now. Whether they smoke or whether they eat, or maybe they don't do anything. Maybe they don't ingest pot at all. They're still very curious.
You've been interviewed on national programs like the Colbert Report. How do you think the country sees Colorado right now? It's getting a lot of press.
You know, not only the country, but I just think international audiences are fascinated with it. We knew that there's going to be a certain amount of press involved with naming somebody our marijuana editor, but I don't think even we could have foreseen everything that's come. I can say that in Scandinavia and England, they are so very curious about the law shift here in Colorado and how it's going to turn out. And is it going to spread beyond just Colorado and Washington? You know, will states like Oregon and Illinois end up legalizing? Who will be next to go? So yeah, the national and international reaction has been absolutely fascinating and totally strange too, just because this is a world issue. And some countries treat pot as the most illegal substance you can have, and some countries tolerate it. And here we are in Colorado, and our government has chosen, and the people have chosen, to legalize it recreationally. And that's a first for the modern world, so I think everybody's paying close attention.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin speaking with Ricardo Baca. He's the Denver Post's new marijuana editor. While the sale of recreational marijuana is now legal in the state of Colorado, not every city or town is allowing businesses to open up. One marijuana store in Boulder County called the Canary Song has been given a state license, but they still haven't gotten local approval. That means the shop won't be able to sell pot to the general public until late January. At the earliest, KGNU's Maeve Conran spoke with Boulder District Attorney Stan Garnett.
I have for a long time supported the legalization of possession and use of small amounts of marijuana. I've talked about this publicly for a long period of time. My reasons for that are essentially based in pretty obvious realities about what the criminal justice system does well and what it doesn't do well. What the criminal justice system does very well is enforce laws where almost everybody agrees that what's prohibited should be illegal. In other words, burglary or assault or murder, that sort of thing. When you have laws like possession of marijuana, where more than half the populace believes that it should not be illegal, it's virtually impossible to have meaningful and fair enforcement of that through the criminal justice system. So I've been saying for quite a while that criminal prohibition of marijuana isn't effective. It's not, doesn't work very well, and we need to legalize it and try to regulate it, which is what's happened under the medical marijuana scheme, which I think has worked out pretty well, and that's what I think will happen under the recreational marijuana scheme. And, you know, the fact that Boulder County and some other jurisdictions are really taking their time to make sure they have strong regulatory schemes in place before recreational marijuana is made available, I think proves that the regulatory authorities are taking their obligation very seriously, and I think it's going to be quite effective.
Is there any concern that it's still illegal under federal law and that the state of Colorado is navigating this without any framework, given that it's the first state, I suppose Washington as well, but really Colorado is leading the way in this? I mean, are there concerns about the implications of that?
Well, yeah, certainly whenever you have something that's permitted by state law but prohibited by federal law, that creates a tension in a federal system like we have in the United States, and it's an issue that's a real concern. I've been in a pretty public dialogue with the United States Attorney in Colorado, John Walsh, about what I think his role should be. I think we've reached a point where we're pretty much in agreement that federal enforcement should be focused on the same kind of things I'm going to focus on as well, which would be interstate trafficking of marijuana, marijuana transactions and use that are outside the legal system. So I think, yeah, I mean, my view is eventually the federal government is going to need to modernize its marijuana laws and bring them into compliance with what's happening in the states. But I think it's an issue that we've worked out pretty well.
What are your thoughts on the possibility of a booming marijuana tourism industry and the people coming from outside of the state to participate in the marijuana industry here?
I have some concerns about it, although as long as people are complying with the regulations that are going to be in place, I think it's a pretty manageable situation. One of the benefits of the medical marijuana scheme that we've had in place is that it has really been a blow to the black market in marijuana, because one of the realities that we have to deal with in the legal system is that lots of people use marijuana. And if people are using it, they're going to get it somewhere. It's much better for them to get it legally through a heavily regulated system than to be getting it from the black market. We have noticed, I'm actually optimistic that in the long term, we're going to see a decrease in youth use of marijuana as we legalize it carefully and regulate it, because what it will do is give us a framework to enforce where marijuana is, how it's available, and how kids can get access to it.
So you're not concerned that we'll wake up Wednesday, January 1st, and society will disintegrate?
No, society's going to be just fine. As I like to say, Western civilization will continue just fine. And what it also does, and this is very important, in my office, we, you know, I have a staff of 70 people. We focus on very serious crimes. We have about 2,000 felonies that we file and pursue every year, and we take as many of them as we can to trial. Clearing up the situation with marijuana permits us to focus the criminal resources we have on things that actually impact public safety, and there's plenty of those, and that's where we want to put our effort.
That was KGNU's Maeve Conran for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. She spoke with Boulder District Attorney Stan Garnett about his take on the newly legalized recreational marijuana industry. And the Colorado Independent reported yesterday that outside some newly opened pot shops in Denver, extra law enforcement and even some undercover police were seen on patrol. Some shops hired extra private security for the first day of legal pot sales as well. But by most accounts, the general mood was pretty mellow for most of the day. This year, DMEA customers could see their electricity rates jump between 9 and more than 100%. That's after the utility co-op approved some changes in late November. As the Delta County Independent reports, basic residential rates will rise from 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour to 10.3. Dan McClendon, the general manager for the co-op, reportedly said at a hearing on the new rate that the increases are needed because Tri-State Power Generation and Transmission has increased its costs. DMEA buys its power at a wholesale price from Tri-State. Still, some people have criticized the co-op for not fighting Tri-State's increases hard enough and for some of its own internal spending. According to the Independent, one criticism described the co-op's benefits package for employees as, quote, out of control. The San Miguel Power Association, meanwhile, is keeping its rates the same going into this year. At a December meeting, the co-op's board of directors voted unanimously to keep the rates the same, despite the fact that San Miguel is also suffering from increased wholesale power costs from Tri-State. In a statement, the co-op's general manager, Kevin Ritter, said this year's budget should keep operating costs low, and that rate increases from the past couple of years have kept the organization financially stable for now. You're listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is Regional News. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound. Ryan filling in for Joanna this morning. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.